It's the Cap and Haw Show on WGN Plus and Comcast Sportsnet.
We're not familiar like we were the teams we played. But they've got a fast team. They've got some, they got a top line you got to be concerned with. They got top players you got to be worried about. But net overall team speed is the one thing, and their attack game is dangerous.
That's Joel Quenneville. Blackhawks and Lightning will drop the puck tonight. Game one. TV ratings in this market will be insane. So the TV ratings Saturday night for game seven. Chicago was a 26.3, which is enormous, and L.A. was a 3. It's just crazy.
Do you know who would be up there for a team that's not, or a city that's not involved in the playoffs?
Who?
Buffalo, New York. They're always big.
Always big.
And they're great sports fans. You know, when I played there, it was awesome, and they're great sports fans.
People don't care about sports in L.A., it seems.
I don't know.
Was it fun playing at San Jose?
They have that barn is great. They rock it. They're filled. You can get away from the rink and you don't get it as much here in Chicago, which sometimes it's obviously great if it's a great fan coming up and I still get it walking the streets and stuff. Mm-hmm. And as long as they're not, had a few too many and really
right.
get into your
out of
gear.
Control.
Exactly. But, San Jose it's a good little market there.
Jonathan Toews said he would walk down the street here like in 08, he said, I could go to lunch and no one knew who I was.
Yeah.
Now it's different.
Yeah.
And he loves it.
Yeah. He's first class all the way.
Rock star.
Yeah.
Jamal Mayers, who hoisted a cup like Brian. He did it in 13. Joins us now, and you'll catch him on Comcast Sportsnet tonight. He, Pat Boyle, Steve Conroy, hit the air at 6:30 to get you set for the Blackhawks and the Lightning game one of the Stanley Cup final. Jammer, thank you for taking a few minutes. As you look at this matchup tonight, this is not the Anaheim Ducks with the heaviness and the hitting. It's two really fast, very talented teams. How quickly do you change your mindset, your style of play, from what you dealt with on Saturday to what you're dealing with tonight?
Yeah, I think, the Hawks won't change much. I think the idea is to come out clean. I think it's going to, a team like Anaheim tried to bully the Hawks. I think that never works. They're not intimidated by that. I think that they are going to have trouble with the Lightning speed. And I think that they close on you quickly. They counterattack very well. Hawks are going to have to do a good job of managing the puck and being patient in their game, which they've proven to do, particularly against the Wild. But as Supi knows, it's not so much guys, trying to put you through the boards. It's them getting up quickly on you as a defenseman, stick on puck, making it hard for the Hawks to come out of the zone cleanly.
Hey, Jammer, I know playing Tampa this year, their defense, they come down the wall hard on the wingers. They're in a press mode at all times. And I know you mentioned the other day about using the middle, and I just feel like going into this series, that's going to be really important for the Blackhawks. To use that. I know the centermen are going to play a big role in that, whether they're third guy high or trying to find the low zone in the offense. I'm just, how are they going to keep getting out of the zone? Are they going to have to use the glass a little bit more? Or are they going to have some success with the speed coming at them?
Yeah, I would totally agree. I think they're going to have to use the middle. As you know, the net front D, they're going to have to pop it through the net front D. They're also going to have to punt a few times, meaning put it out into the neutral zone and chase down some pucks and push back the Lightning and force them, maybe have some slash support from the opposite winger. As you know, when you have those wingers coming across with no red line anymore, that'll force perhaps the Lightning D to respect that speed and back off a little bit. Another thing might be to use the lane of the dots, Supi. So maybe the wingers can just pop off the boards a little bit. And as you know, if I jump to the dot just outside the blue line, that might be a lane right there that they can use to relieve some of that pressure.
Yeah, that's a great point there.
Jammer, when you look at Patrick Kane, and he was out with a fractured collarbone, he's not going to be back till at least the conference final, and then there he is, game one against Nashville. Are you surprised he's playing at such an elite level with all that time off, or was that 7, 8, 9 week break, in hindsight, a huge blessing in disguise because his legs and his body are so much fresher?
honestly, I think it ended up being a blessing. How can you argue with, you know, I think he's second in playoff scoring right now, 10 goals and 20 points. And, you know, he's a special player. He's once-in-a-generation type of guy. He's my favorite player in the entire NHL to watch play. You know, at the end of the day, like Al MacInnis used to tell me, there's two types of players when it comes to practice. One, the first type of player, it's not going to do a lick of good. The second type, they don't need to practice. So I knew which one I was. But for Patrick Kane, he's a guy who loves the game. His skill set is so much higher than everyone else's. Even when he came back, he was perhaps at 85%. That's better than about 98% of the entire league.
Very true. Jammer, I was looking at the special team stats here, and the Hawks' power play is going at a clip of 19.6, and Tampa's at around 22. I always find that that plays a huge role in the playoffs, and even in Game 7 it did for the Hawks. Who do you think kind of has the advantage going into this?
Well, statistically, you would think that the Lightning do, because their power play is so lethal. And, you know, the Hawks' penalty kill has struggled in the playoffs. You look, I think they're just the high 70s, which is kind of surprising, because during the season, I think they finished 10th. So for that, I would think that the Lightning have the advantage in that respect. So it's going to be important for the Hawks to be disciplined. But when the Hawks' penalty kill is rolling, I think there's very few penalty kills that run as smoothly as they do. They pressure the entries extremely well. They pop it to the middle, and they seal the walls when they find people in trouble, and they pressure at the correct times. And as you know, as a power play guy, if you're able to pressure all at the same time and everyone's on the same page, which they seem to be for most times, it's so hard to get set up. And I think if the Hawks are able to, you know, put that pressure on the entries before setup happens, they're going to have success. But as you know, Tampa Bay has a lethal power play. I mean, it's a matter of pick your poison. Look at those top two lines. It's pretty amazing what they've done.
Talking to Jamal Mayers as he makes his way back to the Windy City for pre, between period, post-game coverage tonight with Pat Boyle and Steve Conroy. The Blackhawks' experience, I asked this to Keith Jones, I asked Brian this, how much does their experience give them an advantage, or, nah, that stuff goes out the window once you get to the Stanley Cup Final?
Honestly, I think it's only going to be a factor for Game 1. I think that all the hype, and I don't know what those guys had said, but for me, you know, I think Lightning could perhaps be a little bit nervous. They had media day yesterday, all that energy and all the hoopla surrounding the finals. The Hawks have been there. They've been through this three times now, for the most part. They're used to this. I think it really helps the Hawks for Game 1. But beyond that, I think once Tampa Bay and both teams settle in, they get back to playing hockey.
Hey, Jammer, I look at the coaches here for both sides, and you know, I just find Q, he's a master at knows when to change up his lines. I know people sometimes fault him for doing it too much, but you know, it seems to work for him at all times. Do you think John Cooper's gonna, you know, does he have the confidence to make some adjustments throughout the Stanley Cup Finals here?
I think he does. I know John from his days coaching junior here in St. Louis when he was coaching the Bandits, and he's had an amazing rise in the ranks. And I know he looks at Joel as one of his mentors. And, you know, he's not afraid to make some changes, as evidence. I mean, he took arguably his best player, who was struggling at the beginning of the playoffs, Steven Stamkos, and moved him to the wing. And he put him with Filppula and Killorn, and now they've become one of their, you know, obviously their best line of producing. So the real challenge is going to be, you know, how are the Hawks going to match up against those two lines? Because a lot of teams have difficulty, and it's a matter of pick your poison. Do you want to play against the Johnson, Kucherov, and Palat line, or do you want to play against Stamkos and Filppula? So I think Coop is a smart guy. He's a lawyer. He can think on the fly. He knows the game. It's going to be an interesting battle and a dynamic behind the bench.
Hey, Jammer, appreciate the time. You'll be on tonight.
What color suit are you wearing tonight, Jammer?
I got something special for you.
Okay,
yeah, I bought clothes from you. What are we going kind of like out there where Brian and I'll be watching on TV going, wow, look at our guy Jammer, or is it like navy blue with some wingtips?
No, just a little gray double-breasted with some purple.
Looking forward to
it. I love it.
Best dressed guy in the NHL by far. Champagne and caviar, right?
That's it. CNC Bespoke. I got to hook you up, Soupy.
Yeah, I got to. I don't know if I can pull it off. The red hair clashes with a lot of things.
we'll stay within your wheelhouse.
Okay.
I won't push you outside your comfort zone.
All right.
Hey, how far are you from Chicago?
I'm about 2 hours now.
All right. Well, don't go too fast. We don't want you getting arrested.
I know. You're not kidding. I got a new app, though, called Waze. Pretty cool.
What's the app?
W-A-Z-E.
Waze, W-A-Z as in zebra, E?
Yeah, it tells you if there's potholes, if there's cops ahead, all kinds of stuff.
I'm putting that on my phone today. W-A-Z-E. Deal.
Google owns it. It's pretty cool.
All the best, Jammer. We'll see you tonight.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Right, there he is, Jamal Mayers.
Yeah, he's, you know what, he had a great career, you know what he did, and he worked every bit he got, he 15 deserved.
15 plus years, it's a long time.
He worked hard.
Good dude, too.
Yeah.
And the best dressed guy on that team, by a mile. All right, 312-235-2525, we've got a segment called You Decide. Brian's going to tell us the best story he remembers from the 2010 Cup run. We'll let him tell us that after this. Be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
All right, welcome back. David Kaplan and Soupy Brian Campbell in here. David's down in Tampa for game one tonight. He'll be back next week, but he'll be joining us a little bit later as soon as he lands down in Florida. You Decide is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. All right, so You Decide. Pick a story. Tell us something from 2010, that season, that cup run, whatever. You go, hey, you probably never heard this, but it's pretty awesome.
Jeez, you put me on the spot with that one. I was just trying to think. Everything is kind of out there, it seems like. But, you know, for us, I think it was just getting on that plane after the game, and we were all sitting there, and everybody kind of would take turns of sitting on the plane in your seat, and then the next seat you kind of have the cup sit beside you, and you'd buckle it in and kind of get a picture. It was just the laid back. It was just like just being with the boys, nobody else, no distractions, and just kind of like laughing, just seeing, you know, you're sitting on the plane, who knows, you're sitting beside the cup on a plane ride home. It was such a cool thing to for all the boys to be able to do.
So do you still have that photo?
There was a bunch of photos that the guy for the Blackhawks that Chase usually, he takes millions of them, so they're out there somewhere, you know, within the Blackhawk archives.
So when you're in the locker room, and you were telling us a funny story, Joel loves the horses, and he's not hitting that fact. He owns Midnight Hawk, and he's a horse guy.
Yeah.
Eddie is a horse guy.
Yeah.
And you hear some yelling coming out of his office one day.
Yeah, it was in Vancouver. We were getting ready for the game, and it was an afternoon game or an early starter. And all of a sudden, we hear the screaming and yelling, and we're like, "Uh-oh, is he mad?" Or they was cheering, and this is probably about 3 hours before the game, so it was like lots ahead of it. And then we hear that Joel did pretty well in the Derby and hit something pretty good.
So, trifecta.
Oh man, we were dying laughing in the room. It was awesome.
A lot of you hockey guys, you're not one of them.
No,
love the horses.
Yeah,
Keith Jones.
That's a lot of. Those guys do a lot of work with that and study that up. I should just double up whatever Enzo does on his bets and see how it goes.
So how do you pass the time? You're on the road. Let's say you got the day off. You're not going to practice. He said, take the day. You're up. You decide, what's your favorite activity to do?
Well, you know, it's a lot of times it's middle of winter. You're not trying to go outside too much, but I know in the playoffs the Hawks we play Mario Kart all the time, which kind of passes the time because you don't want to be out running around and walking around. A lot of times it's just laying low, watching shows, do a lot of TV watching, when we're just chilling out. Sometimes you play a little cards with the guys, but a lot of times just going for a nice lunch, you're usually pretty exhausted and taking a break.
We had Kane on one day, and he said we were in Vancouver playing. He goes, they hate us. We hate them. And he's going to get sushi, I think, with Chris Versteeg.
Yeah.
He goes, and we're walking, and a lady with an oxygen mask on pulls the mask down and starts screaming how much, in profane language, she despises Patrick Kane. He goes, I actually love that stuff. He goes, yeah. Some guys hide in their room. I love being out there.
Yeah, in those cities, especially Vancouver or Calgary, you want to go out for lunch and just see what everybody's saying. And in the playoffs, we're all kind of holed up in the hotel. You know, we have all our meals are there. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner is all in the hotel, all set up for you, snacks. A little lounge room that we all like, kind of, there's couches
play Mario
in there,
Kart.
Play Mario Kart, watch the NHL, the other games. And, you know, sometimes you just need to get out of there. And then when you get out there, you know, it's always comical when you walk into a restaurant and they're
screaming like,
yeah, they're not too happy you're in there, but they got to feed you anyways.
Absolutely. Hey, Wintrust loves a good rivalry. Who doesn't? I do. Here in Chicago, one of the best, the Cubs versus the Sox. North side, south side, blue versus black. Put your money where your heart is, Chicago. Decide for your side with a Cubs or White Sox checking account from your local Wintrust Community Bank. It even comes with your very own Cubs or Sox debit card so you can show your baseball pride every time you make a purchase. How cool. Plus, you can cheer for your team by tweeting or Instagramming hashtag decide Cubs or hashtag decide Sox. When you choose either online or in the bank, you'll help Wintrust donate up to $500,000 to Cubs and White Sox charities. Follow along online so you as fans are cheering the loudest and learn more at Wintrust.com/you decide. Banking services provided by Wintrust Community Banks, Chicago Cubs, Chicago White Sox trademarks used with permission. Member FDIC. David's, I think, landed. We'll talk to him in a few minutes and we'll get Brian's keys to the game tonight. And happy birthday, Mike Puccinelli. Can I get a shout out for my 20th B-Day? Just got my wisdom teeth pulled too. That's not a fun birthday. What an awful birthday.
Who books that on their birthday?
Yeah, that stinks. Anyway, happy birthday at Mike Puccinelli on Twitter. 312-235-2525. I'm getting ripped on Twitter because I don't know about the app Waze. Did you know about this?
Well, they can start ripping me now, too.
Yeah.
I did not know about it.
I mean, I've got like 4 billion apps on my iPhone. Are you an iPhone guy?
Yeah, I'm an iPhone guy. It's just how many more can you have?
Yeah, I've got page after page of apps I had no idea, and they're asking me to get out of the Stone Age.
Oh, I'm with you then, Cap. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, we're going to, I guess, get with the program. 312-235-2525. Steven in Indy wants to talk about the Tampa Bay Lightning ticket policy to keep Hawk fans out. Hey, Steven, what's going on, Sparky?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, we had to pretty much lie to Ticketmaster because we got tickets to Nashville in Game 5, and it's just, I mean, I don't mean to be rude about it, but it is not my fault that you can't put enough, you know, butts in seats to where we want to come join you.
What's your take on it?
I will say this. Tampa's been doing this the whole entire playoffs. It's not just because of who they're playing now. So it's a tough situation if you're the owner and you know that your Tampa Bay Lightning fans can sell out this arena on their own. It's not like you need any support. And I know like the Blackhawks fans will come in and go above and beyond. But, you know, just you got to put yourself in both situations. And I know they're shutting out fans, but they're also keeping their fans in there. And I'm sure they're going to sell out their game with their fans. It's a tough situation. I always try to look at things in both sides. And what would you do? And, you know, it's even, you know.
I understand their management saying, we don't want to take the ice tonight and have 9,000 red jerseys in there.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah, I do, and I understand it. And I think they have a section where you're only allowed to wear Tampa.
Neutral or Tampa. You cannot wear Hawk stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's how do they police that, I wonder?
I guess they said this, the Chase Club and the Lexus Club, they will literally come in, offer you a Lightning shirt. If you don't want to wear it, they either ask you to take that off or you're out.
So if you're a neutral fan, or if you're a Lightning fan, you don't have a Lightning jersey, you come in, you wear something red, and then you get a free
I guess
t-shirt.
If it has a Hawks logo.
Okay.
So.
It's a tough call. It's like, you know, I understand where they're coming from. I totally do.
There are a lot of Hawks fans when you go to play a home game in Florida.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of transplants.
Yeah. We need fans, so they'll let anybody.
We'll take
them. So, yeah. But in Tampa, they have a good crowd. That place gets pretty loud. And you've seen their Jumbotron?
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Cowboys. It's pretty cool.
It's enormous.
Yeah, it goes from blue line to blue line, and they have the big organ in there, and they have – we talk about Rocky Wirtz all the time here in Chicago, how great of an owner he is. They have a great owner as well, so it's a great organization, and they're just trying to, I guess, keep their fans in there.
It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. I mean, yeah. People get jacked. Like, you being a player, are you excited to sit down and watch the game tonight?
I am now. You know, obviously it's tough to take. I'm not there. You know, I want to be there, and you know, it's definitely tough to take. But, you know, I got friends on both sides. Jason Garrison was my D partner in Florida, and we had a great year together. So, you know, I root for him and hope for the best. But also I have a lot of guys in the Hawks there that I know and root for them and want to see them do well.
Did you watch the other games? Like, if this was a month, 6 weeks ago, and Montreal's playing whoever – are you watching those games?
If I'm around and watching them, I'm not going to go out of my way and watch every game. But if I'm around, I'm going to turn it on and watch, because I think you can always keep learning about what guys are doing or how they're playing. So, you know, but if I got something else I got to do with my daughter, then I'm going to be doing that.
Okay,
obviously.
You walk into the hotel room in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You're playing the Wild tomorrow night. You just check in. What channel do you turn on the TV?
I don't turn my TV on a lot. If I did, it would probably be – I just go to my Netflix or I go to my HBO Go and I'm watching those TV shows.
On your iPad.
Yeah, on my iPad. I'm – you know, I – because a lot of times you get into something and it's pretty much garbage and you've wasted a few hours and what you're watching. But if there's some sports on, I'll watch that. But if I know there's nothing much on, I'm going to that.
Are you a House of Cards guy?
I've seen that all. Yeah, I've seen
so
that.
So I'm just about through – I'm not quite done with season one.
Yeah, it's great.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Got hooked on it.
Have you seen Banshee?
Banshee's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Ray Donovan, I watched some of that. love Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I never did that. I should start because I got lots of hours to do it.
Sopranos?
So I've seen that, yeah.
The Wire?
The Wire is unbelievable.
Phenomenal. That's one of the best shows.
That's when you had the DVDs. You know, I watched them when you got the set of DVDs and you keep going. You have to bring those on the road and pop them in. That was fun.
Now, do you travel with a computer?
Usually just an iPad. Yeah, I'll travel with that. Now it's just lighter, easier. Once you get around the league a little bit, the less clothes and things you bring, the better.
So how much do you have to drag? You don't have to carry your bags, but...
Well, if you're going on like a six-game road trip...
You got a lot of stuff.
No, you don't. You just keep repeating what you wear. Nobody sees you anyways. You get in there early to a game and you're out and nobody's around. So you're bringing in two suits maybe and a few shirts, you know, and I'm probably sometimes overpacking.
So you can't wear like a Panthers warm-up around?
Not to the game. We have to wear it in the morning, so... The Hawks go for morning skate this morning. They have to wear a suit, no tie. Then they go back to the hotel, everything, they're good. And then obviously for the game, suit and tie. After the game to the plane, or if they were flying out, tie. On off days, some teams wear a suit, but you know, most teams, they can just wear nice jeans and a golf shirt or whatever like that.
To travel.
Except if you're in New Jersey, you have to have a tie. If you land at 4 in the morning, you have to have her done up right to the top.
What?
Yeah, that's the rules. Yeah.
You land at 4 in the morning after a back-to-back.
Back-to-back, and there's not a soul in sight that sees you coming in because, yeah.
That's Lou Lamoriello's rule.
And I know they're not allowed. They have to be clean-shaven. That's the rules, so I guess you abide by those rules.
Yeah, now the New York Yankees do not allow facial hair.
Yeah. I think I don't think Steinbrenner owned a part of the Devils at one point, or maybe he did, and that's where it kind of came into Jersey.
You know,
well.
Steinbrenner used to own the Bulls.
I did not know that.
He was one of the minority owners. Then they sold the team to Reinsdorf.
Really?
Yeah, pretty funny. 312-235-2525. David Haugh is going to join us, and Kyle in Chicago has a question for Brian. A couple lines open. 312-235-2525. We'll be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haugh on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Andre in Chicago. What's up, Andre? How are you there, Cookie?
Hey, how's it going, Cap?
What's
hey,
up,
Andre?
Hey, Dave.
Welcome back, Cap'n Haugh. Brian Campbell in for David, who just landed in Tampa, ready for Game 1. Blackhawks and Lightning tonight, 6:30. Pregame show starts on Comcast SportsNet. I will have Sports Talk Live at 5 o'clock this afternoon for you. And David joins us now. Oh, hey, Dave.
Hey, Cap. Hey, Brian.
How you doing?
Hey, thanks for filling in. I'm hearing good things.
Yeah, I hope I can keep your chair warm for you here.
Definitely, definitely. I have to tell you, though, I am not I do not have the tie knotted up to the top. I do not have a dress code I had to follow today, so I don't have the suit and tie yet.
How about that? Did they have to keep it tied all the way up at all times?
I think that's it sounds like something like boarding school-ish because, you know, with teenagers, and I have a 14-year-old, you know, I could understand, like, maybe, okay, you will wear that and you will learn discipline. But when you're a professional athlete, I just don't I don't get that.
I understand going to the game and being and coming out of the game looking professional. But once we get on the plane, it's like nobody sees you because we're going out to a tarmac that's dark. Nobody sees you, and you're just getting on the plane and want to get home. But you know what? They've had success there. I know they're struggling now, but they've had success there for a reason, I guess.
It works, and I do agree with the whole, you know, you wear a suit to the game. The Hawks and always look professional coming in and out, and it's not something that is a concern. But I think that today I went totally with the golf shirt on the plane. I have to tell you, I checked in. And they are very color conscious around here, as you know, as you guys were talking about.
Yep.
And I didn't, you know, accidentally, I had a blue golf shirt on. And I check in, and they said, "Where are you coming from, Chicago?" I said, "Oh, but you got a blue shirt on. You must be a Lightning fan." I'm like, "No, I have a blue shirt on, period."
Yeah, exactly, for no other reason. Yeah. All right, Brian and I have been talking about the matchup tonight, and he was talking about their top six, but what about their next two lines? What's your take on the depth of Tampa as you've done your homework?
Well, I think that certainly they do have quality depth, but I just don't know that they're, you know, as much as we complain about the Hawks' depth, I think that this is a team that is not as deep as the Hawks. You look at there's an opportunity here. There's an opportunity for the Hawks to be feel good about them themselves offensively. I don't foresee a lot of this will happen tonight. I don't foresee a lot of 2-1 games. I don't know that, you know, there's going to be a low-scoring Stanley Cup final. I think that even, like, didn't Eddie the other day, they predict this, there's going to be one game that goes 7-6.
Right.
You know, I don't know that this game is going to be decided just by the fifth and sixth defenseman on either team. I think it's going to be, there's so much skill and speed up front, the top two lines, that you look in this morning at the morning skate. You guys have probably discussed this, but Kane and Taves look like they're going to stay together on that top line, and that's great for everyone who wants to watch exciting hockey tonight. And I think we're going to get that kind of a series, and I think it's going to be decided by the offensive stars and maybe the hottest goalie. But I don't know that a lot of the talk that we tend to have about the fifth and sixth defenseman on either team is going to be the deciding factor.
Hey, David, I know the Blackhawks battled a little bit of injuries going in, finishing up with Anaheim there with Bickle and Kruger. I know they're playing tonight. Your thoughts on what they're – I know there's talking about Bickle being a concussion. You know, how those guys are going to be going into game one and if everybody else seems pretty healthy.
Yeah, they do. You know, Brian, it's interesting because I think Bickle is a guy that served his purpose in the Anaheim series because – he hasn't been scoring like he, you know, traditionally does in the playoffs. That's kind of his time of the year. But he was physical. He had a presence, and the hits were definitely at the right time. I mean, when he came out in the first shift at Game 6 and had three hits, that was what the Hawks needed at that time. I think he has value. I think Joel kind of, I don't say brushed off the concern over his health, but I think he certainly didn't make it sound like it was going to be an issue. And I know you hockey players, I mean, it's not the NFL. I mean, these guys, the protocol for concussions, it seems to be the recovery time, and I don't want to say the concern is less, but there seems to be a quicker recovery time, and there seems to be less of an issue. I think Brian Bickle is going to be right where he, you know, has been throughout the playoffs. As for Marcus Kruger, I think that he's one of the more underrated guys on this team. I think he kind of reminds me a little bit of Dave Bolin back in, you know, the 2010 team, a guy who has a real purpose and I don't think gets a lot of attention, but I think that if you would miss him when he's gone. And he's a guy that, and the penalty kill, and certainly that fourth line has been so vital this postseason that Marcus Kruger doesn't get the credit that he often deserves. So I think he's going to be okay. He really took it hard against the boards in Game 7, but again, as much information as we're able to glean from the injury reports from coaches and players, it sounds like both of them should be okay.
Hey, David, I like what you say about Kruger because I really like him. You know, he's not a big guy, but you see him messing around with Perry there. Perry takes a penalty. The faceoffs he wins, the shots he blocks, very underrated. I feel like Tampa, they have that JT Brown. He's a winger. He's got speed all day, every day. And he's a guy that runs around, and he can create some problems for the Blackhawks, especially, you know, their fifth and sixth D. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Kruger as well. And I think, as you say, you know, him and Desjardins and Shaw, they've played really well for the Hawks. And, you know, he'd be a guy that if he's not playing would be tough to find somebody to match up and go into his spot.
Shaw seems so much better when he's playing forward than center. And not that he's, you know, he still has an impact when he's playing center, but I think it just plays to his strengths and it allows him to be the kind of player that he is. And I think that he has the most value. So when they moved him to the fourth line, again, another very subtle but significant line shift from Joel Quenneville, which he has done throughout this postseason. You know, only one time did it backfire in game three of the last series, but otherwise, every button he's pushed has sort of gone right. The thing I'm curious tonight, Brian, maybe you could speak to this, and maybe you have, but the Tyler Johnson phenomenon. I mean, he has been a guy that has been really key for Tampa, and I just wonder why in the postseason has he been as important as he has been, as good as he has, and what answers the Hawks might have for him?
Well, it's not just the postseason that he's been good. He was top 10 in scoring, I think, in the league this year. He was their MVP this year. He was a plus 30, somewhere in the 30s, where Stamkos was a single-digit plus. I'd have to look at those stats exactly, but the scoring, they were right there.
I'm looking them up now.
They were neck and neck this year in scoring at probably with about six games left in the regular season. So to me, that whole line, they have speed. They do everything right. That Palat, he does everything right on the boards. He gets the puck out. You saw the Ranger goal there that when he scored over the glove on Lundqvist in game seven, all because of Johnson's speed. So it's definitely going to keep them on their toes. I feel like, you know, with Duncan matching up maybe against that line, it won't be a problem. And even, you know, Jarmelson, like those guys can skate, so they can stay with him. But he works extremely hard, so I think he's always in your back pocket.
By the way, he was plus 33.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was their MVP.
That's a season.
Yeah, as much as you talk about Stamkos, and believe me, Stamkos is good. But, you know, this guy, he kind of drove them throughout the whole season.
So, Brian, and Cap, I miss you too, Cap, but I want to talk to Brian for a second.
Go right ahead.
So, okay, so the pressure, or maybe it's the moment that David Rundblad and Kyle Komiski will be facing tonight. And again, the fifth and sixth defensemen, to me, are not going to make the difference in this series. But how much faster is the pace? Or are they adjusted to the postseason pace already, and what will they feel tonight, because they haven't been here before? There's a lot of guys in this Hawks team that have, and the experience favors the Hawks in this matchup, but those two guys specifically, their butterflies has to be turning and their head has to be spinning a little bit right now.
Yeah, it has to be. You know, I know anybody's is, if you don't, you don't really have a pulse. But, you know, even Rundblad the other night, he made against Anaheim, a puck was kind of bouncing on him. He was getting attacked. He almost missed it. He stuck with it. He puts it up the wall. And then I see the TV and you see Mike Kitchen going over and talking to him. And I'm sure he was saying, hey, way to stay with it. Way to work there. Like, way to make the simple play. It was a tough play for him because the puck could have bounced. It was a bouncing puck with a guy on his backside that could have been, had more speed than him, and he made a good play. But that's a lot of coaching too that comes into that. Say, hey, you know, you're good. You're good. Stay positive with the kid. And you know, I think that's, you know, what Mike Kitchen was saying at that point.
By the way, Steven Stamkos plus two.
Yeah,
that's a huge disparity.
Yeah, you know, I think
I'd still take him.
So would I.
That's the thing. Like, tonight you're going to see with their power play, Stamkos will go over where Ovechkin is sometimes on the left side there, and then he'll come into the middle. They always try to find him. They want his shot, but they got to find it, whether it's the high slot. Sometimes he'll roll in. Sometimes he'll even be at the point at the top. So it's going to be interesting to see how the PK kind of goes against Stamkos and not wanting to get his shot, because if he's not getting it where, like, Ovechkin usually sits, where sometimes he'll sit, he'll move into the middle. So you always got to be aware of that.
Denny Savard was on with Cochran this morning, and he said, yes, Duncan Keith playing 30 minutes is insane minutes, but he said a forward couldn't do that. Is that true?
Yeah, forward is what, 22 maybe?
Yeah. You couldn't get a forward doing that, I don't think.
It's, you know, that's why we play defense, Kyle.
Right. Ryan, you know, we talk so much about Stamkos' skill, but do you think that people, again, maybe not in the league, but people who are hockey fans that watch the NHL and are getting their first taste of maybe the Lightning in this postseason, they don't realize how physical of a player he actually is too?
Yeah, if he's not scoring, you could see he was struggling. So for him to get his scoring going, he was going out and hitting guys. And he's a big boy. I know he, you know, I played world championships with him 2 years back. And, you know, he's a thick kid. He goes around and, you know, if he's not doing something, he wants to win. He'll do anything at any cost, just like Johnny Taves will do. If Johnny's not scoring, he's going to help out somewhere else. So, you know, they're a lot alike in that aspect. And I know a lot of people, they didn't get to see him in the Olympics because he was hurt last year. You know, he's got the best shot in the league. He's got the best snapshot in the league, and he'll hit short side top corner all day, every day. If Crawford gives him a little bit, he'll find it and he'll expose him.
Do you attack a guy like that and try and be physical with him, or no, you try to block? Like, the Hawks' philosophy is more block shots, correct?
Well, the Hawks' philosophy, yeah, they block shots. They let Crow see the puck. They take away backside stuff. So if Crow makes a save and it kicks off and goes to the right, or if there's a guy in front of Crow, they're going to try and get a stick, but they're more worried about the backside stuff. They don't want to give up the empty netter. The hardest thing for a goalie is a rebound off his pad. It goes to the side, and somebody bangs it in the empty net.
That's the one they got beat in overtime.
Yeah.
Off his pad, boom.
Yeah, that one was a two-on-one. It wasn't more in-zone play. But anytime, the Hawks aren't worried about the guy standing in front of the net as
much. So like the Vermette goal that won it, exact same type play.
Exactly. They want to protect the backside because Crawford's going to see, if he sees it, he's going to stop it. But so, you know, I think that's going forward, you know, you want to keep Stamkos to the outside, give him those shots. But he's going to find ways to get inside. But it's more or less, you know, not giving him the grade A chances, but also taking away all the stuff that causes the problems with the empty nets on the side of the crease.
This is tremendous, Cap. I'm so glad somebody's in there educating you on hockey.
There's no question about it.
This is awesome.
There is no question about it. Hey, is there any buzz down there? I mean, in Chicago, there's Blackhawk stuff everywhere.
Well, you got to understand. Yeah, there is. So far, my trip is. It consists of taking the cab from the airport to the hotel and checking in and calling you. So, but on the way, yeah, there's definitely talk about this. The people that you on the plane or headed back home, they're talking about friends of theirs who spent $1,000 for a ticket for tonight's game. It's very humid down here, but people are like, this is ideal hockey city. We're really embracing it. It's going to be 2004 all over again, asking me if I know Brad Richards, you know, all these things. But there's definitely a buzz. I don't know that it compares to Chicago. I don't know if that's a fair comparison because, you know, you don't think of Tampa, frankly, as one of your great sports towns in America. But I think let's give it some time, see how the week develops. But I think tonight there's going to be an electricity there that definitely will have a sense of how much people care about the Lightning in Tampa.
David, have you ever been to a Lightning game before?
No, I haven't.
No?
It's
a lot like San Jose's got a good crowd. They have this huge party deck. They're going to have a band playing out front. They're all outside before the games. They have a great crowd. It's loud in that building. They pump the music in there. The owner did all this stuff to the rink there. I think he put in like $50 million of his own money.
Wow.
He doesn't even own the arena, but he wanted a few things changed. So it's a great atmosphere. Obviously, you can't compare it to Chicago, but you know there's going to be a good atmosphere there. They're loud. They're ready to go. They've won the cup before, but get down there early before. It's kind of neat outside.
Everybody's head over there early and enjoy it, take it all in. After my lunch with Lovie Smith, of course, Cap.
Oh, yeah, I'll bet. Yeah, Lovie's going to love to see you. All the best, D-Haw. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Keep up the good work, Brian. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. There he is, right. David Haw, who's down in Tampa. All right, what's the best arena? You're going to answer that after this. Best arena for you to play in as a player, other than as a home player.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For weeks, you've been hearing me talk about MyPillow. You took my advice. Some of you ordered yourself a MyPillow. MyPillow, the guaranteed most comfortable pillow you'll ever own. Try it. No risk to you, absolutely none. Sleep on it for 60 nights. If you don't love it as much as I do, no problem, return it. They'll refund 100% of the purchase price. Who does that? That's how confident MyPillow is in their product. MyPillow, the official pillow, recommended by me and the National Sleep Foundation. MyPillow even has a cooling effect. Summer heat and humidity coming. You need a pillow that keeps your head cool and comfortable. Test one out. See why they've sold over 5 million of them. Act this week. MyPillow gives you 50% off all products. Use promo code CAP, K-A-P. Log on to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code CAP. 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. 800-299-5854. MyPillow.com. Promo code CAP. 50% off. A little bit more with Brian. We'll be right back.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
All right, welcome back. I had to let Chelsea Dagger play a little. Get people ready in the mood for tonight. 312-235-2525. Brian Campbell's in. You just heard David. And I was telling Brian off the air the story of me killing Corey Crawford in 2013 throughout the season. Just no mercy. And then they win. And, of course, I have to interview him. But he was great.
Yeah.
He was a pro.
He stood up to the test. Everybody, oh, it's glove, glove, glove. Yeah, no worries with him, you know. You know, even early on in the season, I was saying, you know, he just needs a couple in the playoffs there. Needs a couple days, spend with the goalie coach, tighten everything up.
He'll be fine.
And everybody's just like, oh, darling. Yeah, darling played great, and that's great. But, you know, Corey's your boy, and just give him a couple days to figure things out, and he will.
All right, let's get a couple more calls in. What's the best arena? I wanted to ask you. Best arena for you to play in as a visiting player?
Montreal.
Really?
Yeah, that crowd is electric. It's everybody's up. It's kind of like a European, like, soccer kind of atmosphere. Uh-huh. People are dancing. Doesn't matter.
I've never been to Montreal and would love to go for a game.
Yeah, great city. And, you know, do you ever dance at a Hawks game, Cap?
I'll get up a little bit on the penalties when we're on the
And some people be like, sit down. And yeah. If you're in Montreal, you can dance all you want. Nobody will say anything. They'll all be cheering.
They go crazy.
Fun. Yeah, it's
okay,
cool.
So if I showed up in a Hawks sweater at a Montreal game, would they be all over me?
Then you wouldn't understand them. They'd be speaking French, so right. You'd be fine.
I'd be okay.
You like having your headphones on.
Yeah. I would be like, what? I know they don't like me, but let's see. Kyle in Chicago, let's grab you. Hey, Kyle.
Hey, Brian, I just wanted to ask, who are the X Factors for Tampa Bay and Chicago that aren't, like, the star players, like Jonathan Toews, Crawford, Kaner, Stamkos, et cetera?
Yeah, I like that JT Brown. He plays on their third line with Paquette and Callahan. I think he's got a ton of speed. He'll run around. He'll hit. He's not a big guy. But he's got a ton of speed. You know, they have some guys in the back end, and Strahlman, who's pretty consistent, and Garrison. You know, those are the guys off of their top two lines. Like, I'm sure not everybody knows Kucherov, and he's got a ton of skill. So those are the guys kind of on Tampa that I see. You know, obviously Kruger's going to come up big. The fifth and sixth defensemen here in Kaminsky and Rumblad are going to have to be, you know, somewhat of an X factor. They're not going to have to play a lot of minutes. You know, we were just talking about Andrew Shaw. He's always a guy that has a knack for getting to the net, and that's what you need. You need to score ugly goals, whether it's you headbutt it in or not. Hopefully they count.
And he gets some pretty ones, like the backhand flip over the shoulder of Frederick Anderson. That was a big-time goal.
You know what? I've obviously played against him, and he hits hard. He's not a big kid, but when he hits, he puts everything into it. So that's very effective. You know, he kind of looks a little out of control and sloppy, and you're like, is this guy a rec hockey player? Kind of like,
right.
He's just like, he's kind of like loose, and sometimes he's falling down and off his skates, but he's the guy, if you asked all the GMs in the league, do they want him on their team? And they do.
All right, Jose in Deerfield. Hey, Jose.
Hey, good morning, David. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, just wanted to say thank you, Brian, for all that you did in 2010. You and that team will always have a special place in my fandom, Chicago sports fandom heart. But my question for you is, since you've been on this final stage, you've played for Coach Q, you've played with the Caners, the Taves, the Hosas, the Sharps, you know, the Seabrooks, the Keys, who are on the stage again in their career. What's it like to with the prep work and keeping that routine at this stage and trying to minimize distractions with, and I know you have to deal with a lot more media and everything else. I know it seems easier said than done, but I mean, you've obviously been there and done that.
I'll give you a quick analysis of what they're kind of going through. So you have your you know, you find out you're playing the Lightning. They'll do their prep work. So the coaches will scout everything, and then Q will ask, he'll ask Taves to do what he thinks of Filppula, and Kaner will do Stamkos. And then we'll sit in a room, and you'll go around the room, and you'll say, okay, Stamkos, great shot, likes the short side, likes where he is in Ovechkin. And each player gets assigned a guy on the other team. So that's how they get their prep work, to kind of know what these guys, what's coming at them. And then obviously the special teams and stuff will get going that way. And then you don't want to change it too much. Just because it's the Stanley Cup final, you don't want to change, because then it makes guys nervous. You know, it's the same stuff, same routine. And the Blackhawks, you know, do a great job of getting the outside distractions away and controlling it. And that's, you know, they have guys in place to do the job. But they do the pre-scout, so they get ready that way. And they all do a little homework. It kind of gets you ready for the team you're playing.
Wait, how much film work?
They'll do a bit. Q is great because he'll just do snippets. He'll just do a little bit. He doesn't overdo it, but they'll do the PK. They'll do some 5-on-5. But I'm talking like he'll grab everybody, and you'll be doing, say, before the series, maybe 15 minutes of 5-on-5 of
as a team.
Clips as a team. And then you'll do maybe 10, 15 minutes of PK each. And then after the games, he'll do a review of stuff that he likes and what they can do better going forward.
Do you do some on your iPad? Because I know college basketball, I've seen coaches, and they'll say, okay, Brian, you're guarding Cap. Here's your iPads loaded with my offensive plays.
Yeah, if I'm a Duncan, I'm going to want to see breakouts on power play, what works against them when I'm carrying the puck up the ice. So they'll prepare you and do everything. But if you want to see more and grab the computers and go look at more stuff, you can easily.
Beautiful. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I've had a lot of fun.
We'll talk tomorrow, too, about what happened.
Yeah.
All right?
That'd be great.
And best of luck to your wife.
Yeah, I appreciate
Brian's
that.
Brian's got a baby on the way by Friday. We will be back tomorrow. Hawks again and the Lightning tonight. Eddie O will be with us tomorrow. And don't forget, Luke Stuckmeyer's on the show. Blackhawks pregame live with Pat, Steve, and Jamal, 6:30 on CSN. And Sportsnet Central's Road to a Dynasty, live from the Stanley Cup Final with Luke Stuckmeyer every single night as this goes. And get our podcast, WGNplus.com, or on the iTunes store. You can sign up and get the podcast sent to you right to your iPhone. Have a wonderful day. For Brian, I'm Cap. See ya.